At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Taiwan. The threat to Taiwan by not only the People's Republic of China, but the General Secretary of the People's Republic of China, Xi Jinping, running for re-election. Therefore, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, with the cover story in Newsweek, and Stephen Yates, new chair of the American First Policy Institute's new China Policy Initiative, are here to comment on coincidental news. This is the Associated Press in these last hours. U.S. approves support deal with Taiwan for Patriot missiles. Gordon, a very good evening to you. Is this a coincidence that the U.S. is approving Patriot missiles to defend itself against the depredations of the People's Republic of China while the Olympics continue? Good evening to you, Gordon.
Good evening, John. And I actually do think this is a coincidence. The Olympics, by the way, are 16 days. I don't think the U.S. government is going to stop every announcement while these games proceed. And the Biden administration, we know, is always worried about offending Beijing. So, you know, I just think that this was one of those things where the time came up to announce it because they notified Congress.
Steve, I come to you for a comment on the Foreign Affairs Ministry of China in response to this revelation about Patriot missiles sold to Taiwan. U.S. arms sales to Taiwan seriously undermine China's sovereignty and security interests and seriously damage China-U.S. relations and peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait. Steve, can you translate that? Damage stability? What is the foreign ministry addressing? Who's the audience for this?
Well, I assume the audience are people in America that just don't pay attention, perhaps. But for the most part, it's a domestic constituency, and they hope to try to influence some parts of the Taiwan body politic that still think that their future is by way of a deal with the Communist Party of China, as opposed to maintaining their democracy and freedom and waiting out change in China. But the press release basically can be translated from English into English as saying that we regret and oppose your moving forward with these arms sales because it diminishes our ability to threaten and coerce the free people of Taiwan. And we protest in the strongest terms you creating this inconvenience for us. But that's basically what it is. This could not possibly have been a surprise to them. These arms sale processes take forever. And no doubt China has insight by way of their espionage and other helpers of when these things are coming through the process.
The Patriot missile system, to my knowledge, Gordon, is a defensive missile system. The threats from the PRC are offensive, so this all matches up. Do you measure that there will be more of this with the Biden administration, more following through on defending Taiwan?
I think so, John, and this is being driven by Beijing. Beijing has made it very clear that it intends to use force, or at least is not going to take force off the table. It's been building up its forces opposite Taiwan. And so we really don't have a choice. And therefore, there will be more weapon sales. The issue, John, though, is whether we are making these sales fast enough and whether we're selling the right type of equipment. Those are two more complicated questions.
You have a question for Steve, Gordon.
Well, Steve, I might as well ask those questions to you. Yeah. Are we making arms sales to Taiwan fast enough? And are we selling the right type of equipment?
Well, I think, Gordon, the its quick answer is no, we're not moving along fast enough. Part of that is just that the procurement process, arms sales process of the United States is slow. It's not fast. And so whether it's Taiwan or other geographies, these things can take much longer than you would think security requirements would argue. But you add on top of it the layer of administration after administration wanting to try to navigate or explain why they're taking incremental steps. The Chinese had no such deliberation or concern in racing very high the number of missiles aimed at Taiwan, aimed at Japan, aimed at U.S. forces, frankly. And so in a way, we're not keeping up with the comprehensive threat. There does need to be a real question, though, whether what kind of deterrent strategy we're favoring. Certainly, Taiwan should have the ability to militarily defend itself. But the comprehensive threat from China is multifaceted, even militarily, but not just militarily. And I don't think we've done a good job of keeping up with those tools either.
Steve, you've traveled to Taiwan many times. You were deputy national security advisor in the Bush administration for the vice president. I've only been there once, Taipei, during the election of 2004. And at the time, I was told that there were 700 missiles aimed right at me at Taipei from the People's Republic of China. This is many years ago. Is that fact well known to the American people? This didn't require Xi Jinping to come into office and make himself comfortable for eternity. It was there at the beginning of this century. Does America know that?
Well, I think parts of America know it, and it's certainly come up in policy and governance circles, but probably not widely understood by the American body politic. Went from the 1996 missile crisis when the PRC was threatening Taiwan's democracy during a presidential election cycle. There was the threat of a missile attack was already very significant, and talk of missile defense began to amplify from there. Now we're dealing with several thousands of missiles aimed at Taiwan, but not just at Taiwan. They have longer range ones in greater number. And now with their space assets, there's all kinds of questions, too. So I don't think that the American public has gotten familiarized enough with this. But it's also important for the public not to get overwhelmed by the number and think that there's nothing that can be done. There are things that could be done to impose cost on Beijing as part of deterrence. There are things that we could be providing them that we have not put on the table yet because we don't give them a free hand to defend themselves.
Gordon, I have a question for Steve.
Steve, to take up your last point, what should the United States do to deter China from invading Taiwan?
Well, if the United States government and our people take seriously the notion that China will invade Taiwan or attack Taiwan in the not too distant future, you'd think that you would put almost all options on the table. In fact, the People's Republic of China is a massively expanding, the leading expanding nuclear arsenal on the planet. You'd think that all forms of deterrence would be on the table. But at the very least, I think the United States should say unequivocally to our people and to others that Taiwan semiconductor and other sensitive industries represent such a vital interest to the United States and our way of life that under no circumstances would we allow any access to any financial instruments affiliated with the Chinese Communist Party should they use any form of military attack on Taiwan and begin from there. But start talking about real loss of real access and real resources so that we don't have to go toe-to-toe militarily.
Steve, the romance between the president of Russia and the general secretary during the opening rounds of the Olympics, did Xi Jinping take any interpretation of the Ukraine events? Has he updated his ambitions about Taiwan because of what appears to be Russia's aggression to win concessions?
I think the most important takeaway for Xi Jinping in that exchange with Putin was the tacit approval of China's claim over Taiwan. Of course, Russia has intimated similar things over decades past, but this seemed to be one party giving a green light vis-a-vis Ukraine and the other giving a green light vis-a-vis Taiwan. It is not an end game kind of an arrangement, but it does muddy waters on both fronts. And it shows a time of weakness among America and its allies and seeming initiative among those who would be disruptors or opponents.
Gordon, we have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Steve, if China were to invade Taiwan, would Russia come in and help China militarily?
My belief is that they would not. I think Russia is a more cautious player in Asia than that. I don't think they want to be seen as getting in the way or opposing. But I think Russia knows that long term, they have serious questions about what they're dealing with China. And they wouldn't want to multiply that by engaging in the conflict in Taiwan.
Steve
but
Yates,
that's just a hunch that their focus is more to the other front than to Asia.
Steve Yates is chair of the American First Policy Institute's new China Policy Initiative. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang with the cover story on Newsweek. I'm John Batchelor.